As we closed out the program yesterday, we were reading in John chapter 10 and verse 16, a very pivotal verse, a very special verse in the Scriptures, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." Now, Jesus was speaking on this occasion to the religious leaders in Israel and calling those who would receive him and believe upon him sheep, the sheep of his pasture, and him as being the shepherd. Then he said, "There are other sheep," that is, not just you Jews, but "there are other sheep that I'm going to bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So there's going to be salvation for whosoever will believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jew and Gentile alike will be placed into one body. Now that's the New Testament church, and even though Jesus doesn't call it that here, that's exactly what he is referring to, the New Testament church, the assembly of born-again believers being placed into one body, both Jew and Gentile, with no distinction. You today are either a Jew or a Gentile or a member of the body of Christ. So if you are a Jew, then you are a Jewish person. If you're saved as a Jew, then you are a Jewish person that has been placed into the body of Christ. And now, spiritually, you are no longer a Jew. You are a born-again child of God in the body of Christ. If you are a Gentile and you have been saved, then you're no longer considered a Gentile spiritually. You're considered a member of the body of Christ. So there'll be one body, and there'll be one fold and one shepherd. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again." Jesus said, "I'll lay down my life," and God wants it that way. God loves me for that, but "I will take it up again. I will be crucified, I will be killed, but I will take up my life again." Now, if he has the power to lay it down, then he has the power to take it up again. No question about that. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." I have just previously stated on the program yesterday that no man could take the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God in the flesh. There's no way, unless he had willed it, unless he had agreed to it, that he could be killed. But he chose to lay it down. As a sheep, the Scripture says, before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He did not rebel. He did not run. He did not flee. He did not struggle. He lay his life down on Calvary that you and I might have eternal life. He said, "I have power to lay it down." Being God, he could do that. "And I have power to take it again." Being God, he could do that. And that's exactly what he did. He laid it down and was crucified on the cross. He took it up the third day and was raised from the dead. "I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Now, I'm here at the instruction of, and for the pleasure of, and for the will of my Father, God, who sits in heaven. And I'll do exactly what he told me to do. "This commandment have I received of my Father." Then there was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these sayings. There's always division when the gospel is preached. I've made that statement over and over and over again. Whenever the gospel is preached, it is either received or rejected. And if it is rejected, then you stand aside in one crowd of rejectors of the Lord. If it is believed, then you stand in another crowd, which become the children of God. There is a great division, and there is no middle ground. You're either a child of the devil, or you are a child of God. But there was a division among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, "He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him?" They were saying, "Why, this man's crazy. Why would you listen to this?" And then the others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Now here was absolute 100% proof to that crowd that Jesus truly was God, and they absolutely had the proof, and when they made their decision to believe upon him, they had good reason for doing so, and they had ample proof that he was God, that he was not a madman, that he did not have a devil. Because a madman or a devil could not open the eyes of a man that is born blind. And you remember back in chapter 9, we have the account of the man who was born blind, and Jesus made clay of the spittle and anointed his eyes, and he went to the pool of Siloam and washed and came seeing. Only God could do this. There is not anyone else except God who could perform such a miracle. And these people recognized it and made it very clear that this man was not a devil because he opened the eyes of the blind. Now that's important because as we go through the rest of this chapter, we find Jesus again calling upon the fact of his works to prove that he truly is the Son of God. Now, we have a little break here, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. This is when Jesus was there, and this was going on. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, frankly, I don't see how Jesus could have been any more plain than he already had been, but they just kept agging it on, and they just kept wanting him to say that he was the Christ. And then Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. I've already told you that I am the Son of God. I've already told you that I am the Christ of Israel. Now here is what was happening. These men who asked the question, If thou be Christ, tell us plainly, they were not so anxious to know that he claimed to be Christ. They were wanting him, if he was Christ, to do something about it immediately. They wanted him to take over the government of Israel and put down the government of Rome, who was in charge at that particular time. That was their whole effort. That's all they were interested in. They were not interested in their own personal redemption or salvation and knowing Christ as Savior. They just wanted the benefits of him being Christ. Then Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. I've already told you. Why don't you believe? The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So here you have the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, I told you, and then you have the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have told you. And he says in verse 26, But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. I've already told you that you are not of my sheep, because you have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then he said in verse 27, and how these verses thrill our hearts, how these verses ring through our soul, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now here is something very, very, very special. The sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ hear the voice of God, hear the voice of Jesus, and they follow him. They don't follow the devil. We've got a lot of folks today who are claiming to be sheep, claiming to be Christians, but they have absolutely no evidence of it in their everyday life. You say, well, what about them, preacher? Well, without the evidence and without the change, I wouldn't want to call them saved. I wouldn't want to call them Christians. I wouldn't want to call them sheep if they act like wolves. I hope that'll ring true in your mind and your heart today. Be with us tomorrow for continuing study here in the Gospel of John.